scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 45. Jeremiah, chapter 45, beginning with verse 1. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. This is the message which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written down these words in the book at Jeremiah's dictation, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch, you said, 'Ah, woe is me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning and have found no rest.' Thus you are to say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, behold what I have built, I am about to tear down. And what I have planted, I am about to uproot, that is the whole land. But you, are you seeking great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I am going to bring disaster on all flesh, declares the Lord. But I will give you your life to you as booty in all the places where you may go.'" Did you ever sign up for anything? You say, "Oh yeah, I've signed on that dotted line to buy a car, to mortgage my house, to refinance and remortgage my house. I've signed on that dotted line when I got married. I signed on that dotted line, that birth certificate." You know, that made them yours. You couldn't leave them at the hospital anymore. "I signed on that dotted line when I enlisted, when I enrolled, when I agreed to the non-disclosure agreement." We can sign on that dotted line a lot, can't we? Now let me ask you, theoretically, when you signed on God's dotted line to become His child, have you honored that contract? Are there times when you regret it? Has life really been easier because you were God's, or aren't there times when you think, "I'm not so sure, but life is more complicated as a Christian"? And in the sense that you can't be as impulsive and you must weigh your behavior because of its consequences, and you're looking forward to that which is beyond sight by faith, walking as God would have you to walk, that is all true. God does require of us much as we strive to be His children and follow in our Father's steps. So perhaps we can identify here with this little chapter in Jeremiah. In our reading for this week, we went through chapters 44 through 48, and so 45 is just right in there, hard to ignore, pretty short one. And next week, we're going to pick up with chapter 49, and in our reading, it says to quit before you finish the book. But I'm going to encourage you, start with 49 and read through the end of Jeremiah, so I can preach on whatever I want to out of Jeremiah. And then the next week after that, we're going to have the book of Lamentations, which is Jeremiah's weeping over the city of Jerusalem because no one basically listened to what he had to say. So start with 49 this week and read through the end of the book of Jeremiah. But this little short chapter, chapter 45 in the book of Jeremiah, is an interesting one. I just read the entire chapter. That's all there is to it. And it's almost like being called to the principal's office. Short and sweet. I always loved it when I went to the principal's office and it was short and sweet. That usually meant I wasn't in a great deal of trouble. Not necessarily, but God gets to the point and Baruch is in the hot seat on this one. But what I want us to do as we look and examine this chapter of what God says to Baruch is to see ourselves. A look at Baruch is a look in the mirror. A look at Baruch is a look in the mirror. Because he mirrors our feelings many times in our lives. Who is Baruch? Well, let's turn first back a few chapters. Let's pick him up in chapter 36. We know that this is taking place during the time of Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim is that king that reigns for 11 years prior to Zedekiah's 11-year reign. Jehoiakim is actually on the throne in the initial overthrow of the land of Judah by the Babylonians. And it's during his reign that God says these words. This is verse 1 of chapter 36. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, so Jehoiakim starts reigning somewhere around 608. He reigns to part of 597. In his fourth year, so we're at 604, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning all the nations from the day that I first spoke to you from the days of Josiah even to this day. So evidently, for the first 23 years of Jeremiah's prophecy, things have not been recorded. Because Jeremiah started prophesying around 627. This is 604. And he's actually going to use that terminology for 23 years, I have preached or I have prophesied. And so the question arises, why? Why does God say to Jeremiah, write it down? Now we know the book is not like what we have, a songbook or a Bible, but it's a scroll that unrolls. And God says, you take the medium of your age, you take a scroll, and I want you to write down everything that I have said to you up to this time. Now, Jehoiakim is going to take that first scroll and burn it. When it's read to him, he cuts it off three or four columns at a time and throws it into the brazier that is in the way of keeping him warm and burns up everything that is about to be written. You say, well, that was kind of a useless effort. Didn't God know that that's what Jehoiakim was going to do? Oh, he knew. He knew. So why write it down? Well, it is for posterity. It is for generations to come. And after all, what are we reading today? The book of Jeremiah. It did survive by the hand and providence of God. It survived. Did you know that in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's got a copy of Jeremiah? And he reads it to himself and perceives that the 70 years of captivity have come to an end. And he turns and he prays to God that the people might be allowed to go free. Now what does that tell you? God knows the power of the word, not simply spoken, but written down. And so, Jeremiah, in obeying the will of God, does this. You say, well, I haven't seen anything about Baruch yet. Verse 3, perhaps the house of Judah will hear all the calamity which I plan to bring on them in order that every man will turn from his evil way. Then I will forgive them their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll all the dictation of Jeremiah and all the words of the Lord which he had spoken. So who wrote the book of Jeremiah? Baruch wrote the book. Baruch wrote the book. Now, it's going to be made clear that he wrote it at Jeremiah's dictation. But Baruch was basically a scribe or a secretary. And we thought that was something of relatively new assessment by man, but not so much. Baruch evidently was a good writer, and we're going to find out that he's a good reader. Can you read and write? Have you ever thought about those being sufficient skills to do the will of God? To be able to read and to be able to write. Why do we get an education? Oh man, reading and writing is just kind of down there in the elementary phases of things, because we want to read important books and we want to write documents that are important. We want to write things that will serve as a thesis. We want to write books. We want to impress. Right, right. But just the basics here. Baruch could read and write. And because he could do that, he could serve. Serve the Lord and serve Jehovah. I imagine, I don't know this to be true, but I imagine Brooke to be younger than Jeremiah, simply because of the way Jeremiah treats him, especially in chapter 45 when the Lord tells Jeremiah, you take this message to Baruch. Notice God doesn't even talk to Baruch directly. He talks through his prophet. It's similar to what God does in the situation of Moses and Aaron. Aaron became Moses' spokesman or prophet. God spoke to Moses. Moses related to Aaron. Aaron spoke to the people. Jeremiah is spoken to by God. He relates it to Baruch. Baruch writes it down. And then, this is most interesting, Baruch is told to do this with what he has written. Verse 5. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am restricted and I cannot go into the house of the Lord. So you go and read from the scroll which you have written at my dictation, the words of the Lord to the people in the Lord's house on a fast day. And also you shall read them to all the people of Judah who come from their cities. Perhaps their supplication will come before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger of the wrath that the Lord has pronounced against his people. Now we're going to go back to chapter 25 in just a moment and read some of the things that are in this scroll, specifically that Baruch would have read to the people. But here he is, one who writes, being told, you're now going to be one who reads. Now that is a very different talent to read in public. Some of you dread it to no end, would not do it unless it was forced upon you. Oral interp is not your strong suit. But Baruch is simply commanded to go. Why? Because Jeremiah is not allowed to be in the house of the Lord. Now, think about that for a minute. What if those doors were locked against me? What would that say about me? What might that say about you? What would that say about the position of God's word in his own house? If Jeremiah is a true prophet of God, which he is, and the doors are locked against him, that he cannot proclaim the message of God to the people, then what is it the people want? Not what God has to say. That would never happen today. It would never take place in an assembly that someone would be told, we don't want you preaching that particular part of the Bible. That's just too controversial. We've progressed beyond that. Would it? Jeremiah can't even go in and present himself to the people, much less the Word of God. He's been imprisoned, at least during the time of Zedekiah. That's going to happen to him. And so Baruch goes into the presence of the people in the Lord's house. I want you to see that. It's in the Lord's house, and he reads. Let's go now to chapter 25 and see what it is that he is reading to the people. Jeremiah chapter 25, as Jeremiah receives that which the Lord has delivered. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah, to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, again and again, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds, and dwell on the land which the Lord has given to you and your forefathers forever and ever. And do not go after other gods to serve them or to worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. And I, listen closely, will do you no harm. Do you hear the message of hope that Jeremiah has to say? We don't think of him as being a hopeful prophet. But what has he just said? If you'll repent, God will relent. And that's always true. That's always true. Yet, verse 7, you have not listened to me, declares the Lord. in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting destruction. Moreover, I will take from them the joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the lamp. This whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Do you hear it? What is this message that Baruch is taking to the people in the house of the Lord? Repent or else. And not only has he said, these are the sins that you have committed, not honoring God and worshiping idols, but he has specifically said, and I am sending Nebuchadnezzar. And lo and behold, he called Nebuchadnezzar his servant of all things. You know, Jesus got into trouble when he said, and they will come from the east and the west, and they will sit down with Abraham. And the Jews got upset because what Jesus was saying is God is involved in other nations. And God is going to save other nations. Here God says, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. He is doing my will. He is fulfilling that which I would have him to do. Well, there are some of those sitting there listening to Baruch and they say, you can't be saying those things. Give us that scroll. You go hide. And then they take the scroll to the officials who are in the king's house. This is back in chapter 36 again. And the officials read the book and they say, where did this come from? Well, it came from Baruch. We got to take this to the king. And then it's taken to the king. The Lord's word, not welcome in the Lord's house, not welcome in the king's house. Would that ever happen to a nation? That not only is God's word not welcome in the halls of power, it's not welcome in the pews. It can happen. Because what happens? Well, it is the microcosm of Baruch. Because we go back to chapter 45, and basically Baruch is catching a disease that the people already have, and that we will suffer from, a malady that will infect us if we're not careful. What is the problem with Baruch? Baruch doesn't want to be just a scribe. He doesn't even want to be one who simply writes and reads. And he certainly doesn't want to write and read a message that is not popular. Listen to it. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. You said, verse 3, this is back to chapter 45, woe is me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning and have found no rest. Verse 5. But you are seeking great things for yourself. Why did you get your education? So that you could understand God's word more clearly? Proclaim it more vibrantly? Bring more souls to the Lord? That's basically what Baruch is being told. Yes, you have a talent for reading and writing. You had plans to use that talent to impress. You are seeking great things. We wouldn't do that with our talents, would we? You said, woe is me, because I'm having to use the things that God has given me to perform a task that is not all that pleasant and not well received. Really? And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Is that not in the New Testament? I think it is. Do we not fall sometimes into the trap of aspirations for ourselves and the setting aside of those simple things that the Lord calls us to do, because those don't quite fit into our schemes and into our plans? Now, the Lord says something here that is very interesting. He says to Baruch, and by way of justification for why Baruch should not have this attitude, and it sounds very similar to what he said to Jonah in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 11, Look at verse 4, what God says. Thus you are to say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built I am about to tear down, and what I have planted I am about to uproot. That is this whole land. What is God saying? Here Baruch says, my aspirations are going by the wayside. God says, hold on here a minute. Who's had plans for the future greater than mine? I am about to destroy a people that I created. And that's what he said to Jonah in chapter 4, verse 11 of Jonah. He said, I have 120,000 people in this city. You're crying over a plant that sprung up in a day and disappeared in a night? Get real, man of God. I'm about to destroy and uproot that which I have planted. My city is about to be burned. Do you see what God is saying? You want to talk about disappointments? All right, let's compare notes. You're not as rich as you want to be. You don't have the stature in society that you hoped for. You don't have the degrees on your wall that you wished. You don't have the real estate, the cars. God says, let's talk about real disappointment here. I'm dealing with souls. And I'm about to destroy a nation. Baruch, 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 Baruch. Think again. Do not say it's all about your aspirations. Instead, see things through my eyes. And oh, by the way, Baruch, I'm going to give you your life as a prize. Think about that for a minute. Is that sufficient for you to be a success? To die in the Lord? I hope it is. Do you know what we need to do with chapter 45 this year? We need to make a resolution to read it every quarter at least. Go back, pull out your Colt 45, cock back the hammer, and boom, read it again. Jeremiah 40, you say, why did he do that? Because you're going to remember it's in 45 if you have any kind of concept of guns. And God has just put the death knell to Baruch's aspirations. I have written out on the marquee, Baruch's worthy resolution. Because we're making resolutions, right? Baruch's worthy resolution. It's implied, it's not stated. I am content in his service. No matter what, I am content to be the Lord's servant. Could that be my theme for this year? No matter what else happens, though a nation falls and a capital is destroyed and I am carried off to Egypt, because Baruch is along with Jeremiah, at least I'm alive and in the Lord. And we have hope of eternal life, don't we? I will give to you your life as a prize. It's the only promise that we should be looking to. That should define success. To die in the Lord. To live for Him. To be content. Now I'm going to try to do something here that may or may not work. And you say, well, that's not the first time. I want you to listen to this song. It's not in our songbooks. I wish it was. But it's entitled, Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer. And of course, Baruch doesn't know Jesus, but he does know Jehovah. We know Jesus. But this is Baruch's prayer. Read between the lines and see the struggles that are going on and the hope that I will forever be in right relationship with God.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty? I'm trying to get it to where it doesn't start something else. That particular singer, he goes by the name, if you want to look him up sometime, he was singing all four of the parts. I don't know his real name. He just goes by Acapelle Dridge. A-C-A-P-E-L-D-R-I-D-G. Acapelle Dridge. And it's all one word. And I think he does a really neat job in harmonizing. Bring my treasures of trials at the end of life's journey and lay them at your throne. Have you ever thought about your trials being a treasure? Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When we endure with the Lord's strength, we win. We gain victory. Oh, that we might prove true, regardless of what comes our way. Let me read you a proverb in closing. Think of Baruch again, but also ourselves, because we're seeing ourselves in the mirror. This is from Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Jeremiah was asked the question by the Lord. He says, you can't handle racing against men. What's going to happen when you go up against horses? You say, well, I'd lose. I can't win against men. But what was God's point? You think it's hard right now, Jeremiah? It's going to get even more difficult. For 23 years, well, Jeremiah may have prophesied at least 40 years, if not 60 years in the Lord. And we're going to read that it didn't seem to matter. They continued not to listen. But what did Jeremiah do for his own soul and sake? God, keep me near. God, keep me true. God, give me strength as long as I live to live for you. That should be our plea for this year. Our resolution, Baruch's worthy resolution, to be content in his service as we stand and as we sing.